Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today our topic is on Umrah. The date today is the 7th of Safar, 1445, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, and that is the 24th of August 2023. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Damat Barakatuh. Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Barakallahu Feekum wa Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu Khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, what's the meaning of Umrah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem. Amma Ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we proceed and respond to the question, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, in my hometown, Auntie Juleka Adia passed away, and the pickup time today, this afternoon, is 12 o'clock. Janaza will be at 2:15 there at the Heidelberg Graveyard Cemetery. Allah Jalla Wala grant her, Auntie Juleka Adia, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. We were all very, very young boys, you know, and her sons, Ayub Adia and Harun Adia and all of them. We used to play together. So we know Auntie very, very well, and Ibrahim Mota, that is her husband, he passed away many years ago, and the Baji also, Adia Chacha, and the younger son, Suleiman Adia, Musa Adia, we know the whole family very, very well. So definitely a big loss to Heidelberg. She's 84, 85 years old, you know. So Allah Jalla Wala grant Auntie Juleka Adia Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allah maghfir laha warhamha wa sakkina fil jannah. Allah mazuka Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allah Jalla Wala grant the family, the children, grandchildren, all of them sabr jameel. And we all have to leave this world. So always remember these two Quranic du'as. And learn it by heart it and read it daily as well. Surah chapter 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. Similarly, Surah 59, verse 10. And that is in the 28th Juz, 28th Surah. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive those brothers, sisters of ours who passed away before us with Iman. And if we read the second part of the same verse, chapter Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10, is very good. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا. Allah, do not place in our hearts the malice, rancor and hatred. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا. For the people who are our brothers, meaning that those who passed away and with Iman. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. They passed away before us, and you are very, very compassionate, very, very merciful. So Allah Ta'ala grant all our marhumeen, those we know, those we don't know, who passed away with Iman and Islam, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Our lesson today on this day of, you know, 7th of Safar 1445 is regarding Umrah. So Umrah literally means a ziyarah, to visit. And remember, Quran speaks of it, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. You must complete your Umrah, your Hajj, all for the love and the pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that shows us that our intention must be very, very pure and very, very clear. Not that we are doing it just to impress people and just for the sake of people, or we're going for a shopping spree there, or just for some holiday and killing time. So obviously then we will not reap the benefits of it. So everything has been done for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Surah number 2, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 196. That is what you will find in the lexicon, in the dictionary. And technically, remember, Umrah is that a'mala makhsusa and that a certain actions will do fi makan in makhsus and in a special place and so forth. So Umrah cannot be done in any part of the world except there in Makkah Mukarrama. And remember, the special actions are that you will be in the state of Ihram from the Miqat, the boundary, or before that. And then you made the intention of Umrah and you reach Makkah Mukarrama, you go around the Baytullah 7 times. So that is your Tawaf. And thereafter, we'll explain everything in detail. Thereafter, your 2 rakat salat, and that is wajib according to Hanafis, and sunnah according to Shafis and Ambalis and so forth. And thereafter, remember that you drink Zamzam, you go to Multazam, all that, any sequence. And thereafter, you go to Sa'i, Safa Marwa. So where you perform Tawaf is called Mataf, and where you perform Sa'i is called Mas'a. So that is your sa'i between Safa and Marwa. So you start at Safa and end at Marwa. So that is 7 times. And then the men, you shave your hair. The women, you cut your hair. And that is your Umrah finish. So normally it will take you 2-3 hours. It will not take you more than 3 hours unless you're making now extra long du'as or the crowd is too big and so forth. So normally it will take an average person between 2 and 3 hours to perform the Umrah, and not now running and going what you know at the extra normal pace. And that. So inshallah, that is how long it will take to perform the Umrah.
Mufti Sahib, what's the hukam of Umrah? Is it farad, wajib, sunnah, mustahab?
According to majority scholars, you must remember it is sunnah, but there is one verdict of the Shafi'is and them that of wujub also, that it is compulsory also. But everybody agrees that it is not compulsory like Hajj, you must remember that. So Hajj, we all agree. Hajj is pilgrimage in English. And for Hajj, you have to go to Mina, you have to go to Arafat, you have to go to Muzdalifah. In Umrah, all that is not applicable. You just confined to Makkah. Obviously, for Ziyarat, you can go to these places, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. Second, Umrah, you perform throughout the year. The best time to perform Umrah is Ramadan. Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. That when you perform one Umrah during the month of Ramadan, then it is equivalent in reward to a Hajj with me, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You open Muslim Sharif, Mustan Ahmad, various compilations, and you will find this type of ahadith there as well. And you must Hajj, you got special days. You can't perform Hajj now in Safar, Rabiul Awal, Rabiul Akhir, Ramadan and all. So you must remember on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, those are the days of Hajj, you must remember. But Umrah, any time of the year beside these Hajj days there, so you can perform it, so that is what it shows. So we will say, majority scholars will say it's Sunnah and Hajj is compulsory. Although there is some ulama like the Shafis and them say of Wujub and Wajib and compulsory as well.
Mufti Sahib, just touching on current affairs, yesterday there was winds travelling at more than 80 kilometres in Makkah Mukarrama. People want to know, is this a punishment?
So you must remember this one correction there. It was not yesterday, it was Tuesday actually, Tuesday night and Tuesday afternoon and so forth. So you must, because I have friends there, so they send me the information already Tuesday night and so forth. We can't say that it's just a punishment. You must remember that every person has to look at himself or herself, that if we are doing good and then all these type of things happen in our town, our city, in our country, in our homes and so forth. So if we are doing majority of the time and that goodness, then we will say the musibah came li raf'i darajat, and that is to elevate our rank and status. And if it is, you must remember, majority of us are doing vices and so forth and so on. So then you will say that it is punishment. And the dalil for that is in the hadith itself, in Muslim Sharif, that she, Sayyida Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha, said, "Anahalik wa fina salihun." What will we get destroyed when we have pious people? Qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes. Qala na'am, idha kathura al-khabath. When the vices become predominant, then even if you have pious people, the punishment will still come. So we have to change the status, go and make sure the hasanat are ghalib and the good deeds and virtuous deeds are ghalib over the vices and sins. Then good halat and conditions will come, and this is enshrined in the noble Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When the people of a town and city, you must remember, they adopt the quality of true iman. There must be absolutely no doubt, nothing of that sort. And we are devoted, dedicated at all times, all places, not part-time like how majority of the Muslims are today. Then Allah says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We will open the doors of barakah and blessing for such people from the heavens and the earth and everywhere. Surah 7, Suratul A'raf, chapter number 96. So chapter 7, verse 96. So halat in Islam, we believe, you must remember, in action and reaction, cause and effect. See, another example. Surah 71, Surah Nuh. And when the people make a proper istighfar, they cry to Almighty Allah for their vices and sins. Istaghfiru Rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. So when people make sincere tawbah, istighfar is for the past, seeking Allah's forgiveness for our vices and sins, and we all are guilty. Every person today who's living and sane and mature, we're all committing sins. No one can say we're never committing sins. We are not committing sins. And then Allah is very, very forgiving. And tawbah is for the future. Don't go back to those vices. Yursili sama'a alaykum midrara. Beneficial good rain will come. Wa yumdidukum bi amwali wa baneen. Allah will bless you with children and sons also and daughters also. And Allah will bless you with wealth also. And these are the worldly benefits. And in the year after, wa yaj'al lakum jannati wa yaj'al lakum anhara. So Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the gardens of paradise, the rivulets and streams in Jannah and paradise. Chapter 71, verses 10, 11, 12, 13. So you can find all that in the noble Quran, very clearly mentioned there. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not punish a people as long as they make abundant istighfar. So many verses you can quote like that.
Mufti Sahib, what are the virtues of performing Umrah?
The virtues are many. Remember that Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratul lima baynahuma idajtunibatil kabair. That one umrah to another, you perform umrah in 2015, 2010, and now you went again after 10, 15, 20 years. So in between, all the minor sins are forgiven, provided that you abstain from the major sins. See that condition. So you must abstain from the major sins, then our minor sins will also be forgiven. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummaru wafdullah, people who go for Hajj Umrah, they are the delegation of Allah, meaning the guest of Almighty Allah. And in the Ohu, when they call Almighty Allah, they cry, they petition Allah, ajabahum, Almighty Allah then answers their prayers and so forth. So go open the virtues of Hajj, Fazail Hajj, of Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sheikh al-Hadith Nawar Allah Marqadahu. And that is one of the best books you can read as far as the virtues go and so forth. And an academic discussion, if you want, regarding Hajj and Umrah, Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sheikh al-Hadith wrote, remember, this book in Arabic in 3 days. And there's 3 days, 3 nights, he hardly slept, you know, maybe 1-2 hours and so forth. So they have spiritual strength. Remember the ruhani taqat, you know. So Allah Ta'ala gives them that. He was ma'zoor, but he's still writing all these masterpieces. And that's one of the books I love the most in when it comes to Hajj and Umrah and so forth. The book in Arabic is Hajjatul Wida wa Umratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in Urdu translated, I have both the Arabic and Urdu, Alhamdulillah. And by Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Ludhianvi, Rahimahullah, and Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, wrote the taqreez and introduction. And in there, Hazrat bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, wrote, is door ke sabse bare muhaddis, that in our time, now remember, Hazrat bin Nuri passed away in 77, And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi passed away, you must remember, in 82, first of Shaaban. 81 Ramadan, he was here in Stenger. So we were there as well. We met Shaykh, remember, in Karachi. We met him there in Saharanpur, India. We met him here in South Africa. So like that, various times and places. So Hazrat Shaykh passed away then. So in 77, Hazrat bin Nuri passed away. So before that, obviously, he wrote that. So that is door ke sabse bade muhaddis, the greatest scholar of hadith, is Hazrat Maulana Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya. So, and we were there in Karachi. We can't forget this type of manazir, you know, that we were giving out the mangoes and slicing and giving them. One side is Allama bin Nuri, one side is Shaykhul Hadith Muhammad Zakariya, and they're speaking in Arabic and all that there, Darum Karachi, you know. So it was wonderful memories that is here.
Mufti Sahib, how many times did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform Umrah?
Remember, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Hajj became compulsory, performed Hajj only once in the 10th year of the Hijrah. And prior to that, before the migration, and Hajj was not compulsory, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed two Hajj. But that was not, you must remember, when it was compulsory. So it's like a Nafil Hajj. As far as Umrah goes, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah, meaning fasten ihram, in the 6th year, and this is known as the aborted Umrah. The month was Zulqa'dah, it was the 6th year of the Hijrah, and they came right up to Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is out of the Haram, and nowadays it's called Shumaysiyah. So wherever you see board Shumaysiyah, so remember that is Hudaybiyah. So that Umrah, the intention, Ihram, everything was done, but practically, physically, the Umrah was not performed. In the 7th year, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the same Sahaba, 1400-1500, then performed it. This was Umratul Qadha, also in Zulqa'dah, and remember in the 7th year of the Hijrah. Then in the 8th year of the Hijrah, you must remember the battles thing, the Fateh Makkah took place, the conquest of Makkah, 20th Ramadan, and some say 21st. Anyway, and remember that it was in the 8th year of the Hijrah. Then after that, the battle of Hunain and all that took place. And you must remember in Zulqa'dah again. So 6th year Zulqa'dah, 7th year Zulqa'dah, 8th year Zulqa'dah. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed Umrah at night. But that Umrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come from Medina Munawwara and perform. That the Master alayhi sallam performed from a place called Jirana. People say Jirana, Imam Shafi say better to say Jirana. So anyway, so Jirana, from there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Umrah. And many Sahaba also didn't know because it was night time. And therefore Imam Shafi says, if you are in Makkah and that you want to perform an Umrah, then the best place to perform Umrah from is Jirana. And Hanafis and them say Tana'im, where Masjid Aisha is. So that is this ikhtilaf of the liyat and what is better. So on the 8th year, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah as well. So then it's 6th year, 7th year, 8th year, all in Zulqa'dah. And then Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100% all the ulama muhaddisin agree, Kana Qarina. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Qarin in the 10th year of the Hijrah, when he, the Master alayhi salatu wasalam, performed the Hajjatul Wida. So they also in Umrah incorporated with the Hajj and so forth. So that is how you count it as four Umrahs. But remember, practically, if you look at it, it's three Umrahs only, because the 6th year one was an aborted Umrah. The physical action of Umrah did not take place.
Mufti Sahib, a person has money, and he has money now to go for Umrah, but he has not performed Hajj. What does Mufti Sahib advise?
I'll advise him, he must go for Umrah. Remember, because today you know all the commotion and so forth in all big countries and countries. You take India, Pakistan, 170, 180, 200,000 people. Now when your name will come out and so forth and so on, we don't know, you must remember. Take South Africa. Now your quota is 2,000, then 3,000, then 3,500, maybe go to 4,000. But when people I know are waiting for 5 years, 8 years, 6 years and all that, and their name has not come out, you understand? They blame Sahuk. Sahuk says that no, they applied late, and everybody got a story. So if you got the means and now you want to go for Umrah and so forth, go, mashallah, at least you see Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. And if you are sincere, so Allah Ta'ala will take you again. And there's a hadith for this in Tirmidhi Sharif. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I used to try and practice on those many a time with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. Tabi'u bayna al-hajj wal-umrah. That you perform umrah, then perform hajj. You perform hajj, then perform umrah. So follow one up after the other. Why? فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَقَرِ. It will remove, it will erase the poverty, and it will erase the vices and the sins as well. So if you just look, easy example I give you. Look at the greatest people, Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Awliyaullah. So among Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when you study his profile and his life history, Hajja Sittina Marra. How many times he performed Hajj? 60 times. How many umrahs? A'taqa alfa abdin wa atamara alfa marra. He set free and liberated 1,000 slaves. And he performed 1,000 umrahs. Up and down from Medina to Makkah. He passed away in Makkah also, but not buried in a graveyard. They're on the outskirts. With Allah's help, we went there also. And then Imam Abu Hanifa, 55 times Hajj. Now it's obvious, with the Hajj, he's going to perform umrah also. Pirane Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Nawar Allah Marqadahu 50 times Hajj. So common sense will tell you that with the Hajj he performed Umrah before that and so forth. So that is how they did it. So we must have that. So we mustn't discourage people nowadays. Tell them go and inshallah you must go with that proper intention and so forth. You tell them no, they'll go Mauritius, they go Maldives, they go yeah, and they just waste the money, you know. So at least they go there, they'll cry, they'll make some tawbah and thus and all these kind of things. And inshallah, Allah accepts something that becomes a catalyst in their life and they turn for the better, inshallah. And Quran says itself, two places, you know, that Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. What is mathaba? A kathiru ruju. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَدَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنِ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادِ. Ma'ad and Mathaba both got that same. See, I've been Dubai, I don't know how many times, 20 times, 10 times, whatever. Then we went here, we went there, we went there. How many times? You get fed up, you must have. But Makkah, Medina, you go, then you come back, you cry, you beg, you petition Allah. Bah, and nowadays, I don't know, you know. Normally, I don't dream. But this past few days and weeks, I see the way I'm dreaming about Makkah and Medina. The other day, I'm telling my wife that we're going now, pack up and we're going, you know. So like that, you see. Lot of things happen like that, you see. So Allah Ta'ala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Allah Ta'ala take us again and again and again. So I personally don't go. Everybody knows because of MBS stories. And, you know, I just get frustrated with all these things going on. But the point is, if you want to go, we will never tell you, you must never go. We will encourage you to go. You must remember that.
Respected listeners of Sirius FM and Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program, Al-Fiqh wal-Madhaib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. If you have just joined us, our topic is on Umrah. And we ask Mufti Saab the next question. Mufti Saab, a woman goes without the mahram. Is this permissible or not?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before I respond to that, two, three quick announcements. Inshallah, tomorrow, Jumu'ah, I will be there in 23rd Street in Fitas, inshallah. 20 past 12 is the adhan, and 12:30, inshallah, is the lecture. And we announce about our mother, our auntie, and that is Auntie Zuleika Adia, that Ibrahim Mota, Ibrahim Adia, marhum. So his wife, Ayub bin Harun Adia's mother, she passed away. 2 o'clock is pick up day in Heidelberg. 2:15 is Janaza Salat at the Qabristan and graveyard. Allah grant our auntie Zuleika Adia and all the marhumin Jannat al Firdaus al A'la grant the family Sabre Jamil. Question: can a lady from all parts of the world, Africa, Europe, Asia, wherever, America, New Zealand, Australia, go alone for Umrah, remember, because Saudi Arabia has allowed it now, the government of MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan. So remember, I told you that just take Quranic verses and look at what the Hadith and the Fuqaha and the Jurors say. So number one is Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 25. Quran Sharif states, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, that whosoever makes this intention, irada and niyat of a deviation and zulmin, oppression, transgression, نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, we will give them and let them taste a painful punishment. Now be honest, you went from South Africa, Africa, Europe and Asia and where, and you went alone. And now, is that now not ilhad, deviation? Is that not zulm and oppression? So instead of coming back with reward, you come back with punishment and mal'oon and cursed. You stand there in front of the Master, alayhi salatu salam. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Surah 49, Surah Hujurat, and verse number 2. The lesson there is, when you're showing disrespect to the Master, alayhi salam, this is an open violation against the teachings of the Master, alayhi salam. So remember, there's no ikhtilaf, no difference of opinion on this. So for a lady to go for Umrah, one of the conditions is she must have a husband with her, or she must have a husband, her mahram with her, her father, brother, son, or a husband with her. She goes alone. So are you not showing disrespect to Nabi, alayhi? So once you show this respect, and tahbata a'malukum, what are you speaking of reward? Your actions will all disappear and you won't even perceive it and know it. And remember the ahadith of that, of you must have mahram, go open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, so many ahadith. And then the fuqaha, the jurors, not one of them have allowed it. So therefore, we told you on several occasions, the agents get very upset. We're not here to please people or politicians or governments or so. We are here to teach you through Islam and defend the true Islam. We're not here to defend people. And remember, that is absolutely haram. And yesterday also a lady sent a message and said that alhamdulillah she booked, and then she heard the fatwa, she went to the agent and she got full refund. Very good, Allah reward you. So remember that that is the fatwa. And then I told you, you can go to any maulana, any mufti, any darul ulum, and tell them they must give you a fatwa in writing that it is permissible. In writing, I don't want verbal. In writing they must give, and then see. So remember that it's not permissible. So don't fool ourselves looking for loopholes and playing with the Sharia. People who played with loopholes and played with the Sharia, Quran says, chapter 7, verse 166, فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ, we made them and transformed them into monkeys that are despicable. This happened to the Jutlas, Quran, and physically Allah made them into monkeys. So we must not play with the Sharia, remember that.
Mufti Sahib, please explain the ruling of the Shafis who allow them to go with a group of huge, a huge group of ladies.
Remember, that is for Hajj, not for Umrah. That's why I told you, you must remember that for Umrah is absolutely haram. For Hajj, you must remember, if they can't find a mahram, or their husband, you know, is ill or old and sick, then the Shafis and Malikis say, as a last resort, they go ma'a jama'atin Nisa al-Thiqat. That is only for Hajj. Remember that, not for Umrah. So don't misquote things and so forth. You must remember. And even in that case, the Hanafis humbly say totally haram, and they can't go. And then that lady must write, you know, wasiya, and in a will that he has 100,000 or whatever nowadays, and that somebody must perform the Hajj on her behalf. So we must understand tafakkuh fi deen. Not go look and play, look at make loopholes and so forth and shortcuts. Is haram according to all schools. Remember that.
Mufti Sahib, if a woman went for Umrah and her menstruation cycle began, then what must she do?
Let's take a practical example. So a South African couple or couple from Europe, America, Pakistan, India, wherever, Dubai or wherever. Now they went to Medina Munawwara first. So everything was smooth. The 4, 5 days, 8 days, 10 days. Inshallah, next week we'll discuss Medina. So now they came to Makkah. So now, obviously, you have to go in Ihram. So they had the Ihram, everything. So before she could enter Makkah, so her napaki, her menses started, like Siddiqa Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she made intention for Umrah, and at a main place called Sarif, just about 20, 30 kilos out of Makkah, remember that, her napaki menses started. So now your stay in Makkah is only 5, 6, 7, 8 days, normally people go 1 week, 1 week. So now what happens? So there are 2, 3 different scenarios we'll have to look at. So number one is that now in Makkah, you are in your hayz, in your menses, in your napaki. So remember, you must stay in ihram. You can take a bath, you can take a shower, you can change your clothes, you can change your underwear. All that is permissible. But you can't use soap, you can't use shampoo, you can't use all this lotion and all these kind of things there. So that's one issue. Second issue is after 3 days, 5 days, 6 days, you got clean and you're still in Makkah Mukarramah. So in a case like that, now your husband is already performing his Umrah. So if he wants, he got 2, 3 options. He can go to Tan'im, Masjid Aisha, make 2 rakat salat there and then come and then join you. So it will be his second Umrah and your first Umrah. So you don't have to go out. Remember, it's a mistake. Some ladies think they must go out. That's wrong. You are in Makkah from the hotel, but you must be 100% sure. Many a time the ladies think they finish and in a hurry, then I'll discuss that just now. So you must remember in a case like this, so when you're 100% sure, you take your first ghusl, your hubby goes with you, your brother goes with you, and therefore Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abdul Rahman, the brother of Siddiqa Sayyid Aisha, go with your sister Hazrat Aisha and take her for the Umrah. So that is what happened on the 14th night of Zul Hijjah. So after the Hajj days and everything were finished, so that is what will happen in that scenario. Second scenario, now you are there for 6-7 days, but your normal habit is 8-9-10 days. Now what happens? So now you can't perform your Umrah and you will be in Ihram. So you cut your hair, you cut your own hair also is fine. So once you cut your own hair, you must remember that. So you tell your husband and all of them to cut their hair, tell them better to cut the hair. So now they will cut the hair, tell your husband he'll cut your hair and so forth. He's not in Ihram, so he cuts your hair. And in a case like that, what will happen is this, that then you slaughter a goat or a sheep there in Makkah. And remember, anytime in future, you must make qaza of that Umrah. Okay? So that is when you can't perform the Umrah because you're still in your napaki and so forth. Third scenario will be because you are so anxious to perform the Umrah, so after 4 or 5 days, you must remember you went to perform your Umrah. And everything is done. Now here, let me explain one masla to you, because you ladies get mixed up, you know. When a lady performs Umrah, normal cases, she's tahira, she's clean, everything properly. And a male also, that he performed his Umrah, everything. So you made the tawaf. What is Umrah? Umrah is that you make tawaf 7 times. You come by the Baytullah and you face the Baytullah, Hajri Aswad, Allahu Akbar. You don't go and kiss the Hajri Aswad or touch it because there's itar perfume there. And then you go around the Baytullah. The men will do 2 things the women won't do. That istiba, the right shoulder will be open for all 7 rounds. And after the 7 rounds, you close the right shoulder. The women obviously don't do all that. First 3 rounds, the men will walk at a brisk pace, you know, like not run, and just walk a little bit fast. And that is called ramal. It's only for the men for the first 3 rounds. And now you went, what is the best dua? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Salawat, durood sharif. And then when you're approaching Rukn-i Yamani, then you read the hadith in Ibn Majah, اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. Words like that you will find. 70 angels say آمين. And then between ركن يماني حجر أسود ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Then again you turn and then you raise your hands by حجر أسود, and then 1, 2, 3 like that. You start at حجر أسود and you finish. Thereafter three actions, anyone you can do first, anyone second, third. You read 2 rakat salat wherever you get place, mashallah. And that Hanafi say wajib, Shafi say sunnah, and so forth. Anyway, you have to read it. Then multazam is only for the man between the Hajar-e Aswad and the golden door, not beneath the golden door, between the golden door and Hajar-e Aswad black stone. You place your chest against the Baytullah and your right cheek, and you stretch your arms out. It's the best place to make dua. You know, in those days we used to get so much chance to go there, and you see today also the duas are accepted, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His grace and mercy. So alhamdulillah, you drink zamzam to your full, and then you read your 2 rakat salat, you go to Safa Marwa. That Safa Marwa, people make a mistake, they raise their hands like how you make Allah Akbar in salat, in namaz. No, raising your hands at Safa Marwa means you raise your hands in how you raise your hands in dua. So that's the meaning of raising the hands. For tawaf, you must have wudu. For sa'i, you have wudu, very good. You don't have wudu, it's also valid. So now, Safa to Marwa 1, Marwa to Safa 2. You will start at Safa and at Marwa. And best is dua, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lal hamdu yuhyi wa yumeet biyadil khair wa wala kulli shayin qadir. Now, this is the masla I want to teach you. Now the man, you are finished, everything is done, the tawaf is done, the 2 rakats is done, the sa'i is done, everything is done. So what is left? Only the cutting or shaving of the hair. So then if the man, they just take a shaver or whatever they in the hotel room and they shave it, it's fine, it's done, they can do it themselves. The woman in your room, you must remember that now everything is done, nothing is left. You don't have to wait for your husband and all that to come from the barber. That in your room, not in the haram, that you take your burqa, scarf, all that out, and then you cut your hair yourself 1 inch, totally permissible, no problem. But in that first case, when you were in ihram, so there I won't advise you to do that, because you're still in ihram and you didn't do any action as yet. So therefore, there I told you, tell your father, brother, or whoever, that they must cut your hair, because they're out of ihram, you see. So you should know the difference there. Now the question we are answering is this. This lady, her habit is 7, 8, 9, 10 days, whatever. Now she thought that her menses is finished, because she's anxious also. So lo and behold, she went and performed the umrah, made tawaf, read salat, made sa'i. And lo and behold, after 1, 2 hours, 3 hours, the next day she sees bleeding again. She sees spotting again. Meaning that she is still fi ayyamil hayz, during that period of menses. Now this is a serious crime, because now you went, took shower, you used soap, you used shampoo, you used lotion, and you cut your nails, and you did cut your hair, and you know, lot of things you did. So now you have to go back there to Tan'im and make 100% new umrah, and slaughter a goat and sheep also to be on the safe side there in Makkah. And remember that you must do it, not your husband. Meaning there's no dam on him, there's dam on you. The dam means to slaughter the animal. So you have to, and that must be done in Makkah. Now see, that's why I tell you, ladies must be very careful regarding these kind of issues. You see, sometimes you just want to do things quickly, and then you create bigger problems for yourself and for your husband, because now he's going to blow his gasket. Now how much? Now another 1,000 riyals or 600 riyals or 500 riyals. You know, they charge also crazy amounts. So for that animal and so forth and so on, they just charge what come in their head, you know. So these are issues you must know about it.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that Aisha radiallahu anha had cut the head short hair because she went so many times for Umrah?
So you must remember that the hadith is in Muslim Sharif, and you must remember that to cut, if a lady goes today for Umrah, and then her hair every time she's going to cut one inch in, and we go short, so then you won't say it's something haram, you will say it's permissible, because that is how they come. But that does not justify what our women are doing today, that they want to cut their hair. Why? Mushabihat, and they want to imitate the kuffar culture, or they want to imitate fashion, or they want to do it to please their husband and what have you. So for that there are clear cut hadith. Go home and open Jamiu Sagheer. In there you will find Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the lady from cutting the hair. So this hadith for that, so it's not permissible. Second one is this: you can't use the excuse, no, I'm cutting it, why short? Because you're imitating the men also, that also is haram. And now you say, no, I'm doing it to please my husband, so that also is haram. La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. So remember that there's no obedience to anybody, husband, father, teacher, whoever, when it leads to a sin against the Creator. This is Sahih Hadith in Ibn Majah and in Mushbishkat Sharif. Second one, go open Musnad Firdaus of Daylami. So you will find this beautiful hadith there, that the malaika and the angels are making dua for who? For those people, Subhana man zayyana rijal bil liha. Everlasting glory, perfection for Allah who beautified the men with beards. For the men must keep big beards, long beards, not all this fancy beard, pencil beard and that. When nisa bizawaib, when your hair is growing, so you must let it grow, and then you make plaits and all these kind of things. So that is the Muslim culture. If your hair don't grow naturally, so like the African lady, so then it's fine. It don't grow your hair. That you don't mukallaf that of making long hair. Like the men, sometimes you go Malaysia, Indonesia, some of them their beard don't grow. So then it's finished. There's no question about that. But for you to go and cut it and shave it and all that, it is haram and not permissible.
Would Mufti Sahib advise women to go and kiss the Hajar Aswad?
So you must remember that if there are men there and all that, then obviously it's haram and so forth. But if there are no men and you are not in the state of ihram and so forth, then we'll say go kiss. And the Dalil also you will find, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, innaka rajulun qawi ya Umar. You are very, very powerful and strong. So you must be careful that you don't cause harm to the people whilst performing tawaf. You don't push them. There at Hajar Aswad, you don't push them and so forth and so on. Second one, Nabi alayhi salam told Umm Salama radiallahu anha that you, the women, you must make your tawaf on the outer circle. Now, what we mean by outer circle, that the men should be nearer to the Kaaba Musharrafah, the Baytullah, and the women should be on the outer circle, so far further away. Now, what we got today, that is haram, that the man, woman, all mixed up and all this kind. Therefore, as good as Masla came, therefore, that for Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, whether you're in South Africa, you are in Africa, Europe, Cape Town, wherever, so to wear socks or stockings for ladies is wajib, is compulsory. And that the lead is also very strong. وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Allah Ta'ala called the feet and all that zina. So that is wajib. And when you go Makkah, Medina, then obviously you have to. Now Hanafi say it's not wajib. A woman can read Salat and all that, you must remember, with the feet exposed and that. But I always tell the Hanafi woman, you must wear socks, you must remember that, and stockings. More so in Makkah. Why? When you're performing tawaf, the men are everywhere, the women are everywhere, the men's feet touches your toes and your toes touch. Now imagine all this happening right by Baytullah. And you know it's wrong, and yet you're doing it. And what Quran says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So then the sin is on you. You must remember that. So you sisters must practice on precaution, you Hanafi ladies and so forth. So today now we all want to walk together. The husband, wife want to go together, brother, sister. No. In Islam, you must separate. The men must go nearer to the Baytullah and the women further. So very seldom them nowadays you'll get a chance. But if a lady, again is conditional clause, she gets a chance, then she must do that, inshallah, she can kiss it, no problem. But it must not be touching any male and must not be in the state where she's in ihram, because they put perfume and itar and all that there on the Hajar Aswad.
Mufti Sahib, what is the Golan Gutter called at the top of the Kaaba? And is there any benefit if rain falls on us?
Before I go to that question, there's one question I want to explain to you all, because you'll make a big mess in this, men and women. Currently, from South Africa, they're saying now in September, October, November, December, Allah alone knows when, there will be direct flights. But we're speaking of the current now as we are in August 2023. So you must remember there's no direct flights. So you have to go via Cairo, Egypt. You have to go via Emirates, Dubai, or Abu Dhabi, either Emirates, or you go with that, you understand, Ittihad in that. Or you go via Qatar, Qataria, Doha, or you go via Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So these are the connecting flights. So remember, if you are going to Medina Munawwara, so then there's no problem of ihram and all these issues. But if you are going, you must remember, to Makkah Mukarrama first, then you must fasten ihram there at your stopover, at the place where you in transit. Our people are more worried about the 2 rakat salat. The 2 rakat salat is nafil salat. You read, okay, you don't read, no problem with it. They're not worried about the first salat they miss, but the 2 rakat they'll worry about it. You see the jahalat, the ignorance. So we must remember, there's many times deliberately I shouldn't read the 2 rakats, because with us there's groups. So to show them to read the 2 rakat salat is not compulsory, is not sunnah also, it's nafil salat. So if you read it, it's good. You don't read it also, it's fine, and so forth. So we must educate the ummah about that. And then 1 hour or half an hour, 45 minutes before you land in Jeddah, so you must remember, you make your intention. Ya Allah, I'm making intention for Umrah. Ayna waytul Umrah talillahi azza wa jal. And fayassir hali wa taqabbala minni. In any language, make it easy and accept it. And labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now you're in ihram. Now many people that they go and in Jeddah they fasten ihram. So Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, you go open his fatwa kitab, and this fatwa of his is very good. We agree with him. He says that any way you enter, and if you fasten ihram day in Jeddah, sawa'an bil barri or bil bahri or bil jawi, that whether you come by road, you come by boat and ship, or you come by plane, and you fasten ihram there, then that person has to slaughter a dam. You have to slaughter a goat or share sheep, and that in Makkah or Mina in the Haram. If you want, and you landed in Jeddah, and you fasten ihram there, then you can solve the problem like this. This is what I want to teach you. They tell that taxi guy must take you backwards. He must take you towards Medina. Then you will find a miqat there. It's called Juhfa. So if you go there, it's about 1 hour, 1.5 hour from Jeddah. And then you go there, you make intention there. And then you come to Makkah, then there won't be any dam and anything. Some people go right till Makkah without it. You must have an ihram. And then they go to Tan'im and they fasten ihram. 100% dam is compulsory in that case. So all these are basic issues you must remember. Regarding the Mizab-e Rahmat, so easy way. So one alim wrote a beautiful sentence. He said, who is Almighty Allah? Arhamur Rahimin. What is the Baytullah? That is the place from where Allah Ta'ala sends Hidayat, Rahmat and all that. So when you are standing there rain time, so it is Rahmah upon Rahmah upon Rahmah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَتُ وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَةً. So Almighty Allah called his rain what? Mercy. And remember, you are by Baytullah, and that is a place of mercy. So you must remember that. And then the rain is touching there, and then it's touching your head and so forth. So it's very good, you must remember this kind. It's the only place in the world, when the rain comes, people dash for cover. But in Makkah, the people then, they run towards it. But it's dangerous, you must watch out. Many people, they capsize and then they slip and a lot of things, break their hand and what have you. So you must be careful also. So yes, it's good, mashallah. You can stand there, make dua and so forth. Our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you must remember she said she wants to go inside the Baytullah. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, you go read salat there in the Hatim in Hijr Ismail. So that is like reading salat in the Baytullah. So all that are your dalil and evidence you can use. Okay, now we go now, 12 to 1 will be 12 o'clock news with Brother Suleiman Esop, and thereafter Hazrat Safana, and that is by Mufti Aku, you must remember regarding the Sahabi or Sahabiya, and thereafter 1 o'clock will be Zohar Azan, and to 1:30, 1:05 to 1:30 will be Surah Baqarah verses 211 to 12, 1:30 to 2 Surah Maryam verses 35 to 40, 2 to 3 will be current affairs Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:35 this morning's Q&A, very interesting. 3:35 to 4, the hadith, see how it is worked out nice. Virtues on Makkah Mukarramah. So there's a hadith lesson. 4 to 5, Zikrullah, the importance of it, remember by Sheikh Hanif. 5 to 7, Mawana Khalid Yaqub. And then 7 to 7:30, the repeat of the tafsir we did today. And then 7:30 to 8, Mawana Dawood Siddat. And 8 to 10, Mawana Arafat and Mawana Salim Karim. Barakallahu fiqh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.